This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News. I've got my friend Rob Myers on the line from Door International. We're going to be talking about actually something Door posted on Facebook recently, and it's about these other religions that are becoming aware of the deaf, that are kind of opening their eyes to the deaf and realizing that there's a massive spiritual hunger. And so they're translating or their holy books into sign languages to reach the deaf. And deaf believers, for the first time, are encountering resistance from these other religions, or a challenge, I guess. Rob, can you tell us how Door became aware of this?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Katie. Many people, I think, don't realize that deaf people are cut off from a lot of information around them. 90% of deaf people are born to parents who are hearing, who don't know sign language. And just here in the U.S., 85% of those parents will never learn to communicate with their own children. So you can imagine in countries where there's a strong stigma against deaf people, maybe the surrounding religion thinks of deaf people as a curse or as the result of the sin of the parents, or sometimes even worse things, that access to learning sign language for parents can be very limited. Parents can sometimes not be motivated to learn sign language because they're embarrassed about their deaf children. So all of those things together cause many, many deaf people in deaf communities around the world to be cut off from information. And that information isn't just in a secular setting, it's also information in a religious setting, and particularly in a Christian setting. So many times we encounter deaf people who've been in churches, or they've been in mosques, or they've been in Hindu temples, or Buddhist temples, or they've explored all of those just with the desire and the idea to know more information about God from someone who knows their heart language. And in most deaf people's experience, in every single context that they go to, there's almost no one who can communicate with them in their heart language. So they'll sit there, for instance, in a church service, and they might have a friend who knows, who doesn't know sign language, but can write down some information from the sermon. And so they'll sit next to them in a church service and try to write down a little bit of information. But even written language is not the first language for deaf people. Sign language is. So that type of information still does not get them access to real, deep, meaningful information. If you imagine your own self in a situation where, let's say, you were in a Spanish church and you didn't know Spanish, but somebody was willing to sit and write down the Spanish for you, you kind of get a sense of how difficult it might be for a deaf person to be cut off from information like that. So as Door leaders have gone into communities, we've realized more and more how little information deaf people have and how spiritually hungry they are. Just to give one example, we began training leaders at centers specifically designed to train leaders in evangelism and church planting, and to use a methodology that we call chronological Bible translation, or chronological Bible storying. And it's a method that we adopted from New Tribes Missions, an organization that's now called Ethnos 360. But it's a very, very effective for people groups that don't have a lot of background in scripture. And it takes people from the idea of who God is and what sin is, all the way to the idea of why Jesus had to be here, and why he sacrificed himself on the cross. And that information many times is lacking in the deaf community. So one time in Door's history, we had our first deaf wedding ever, where the person leading the wedding was a deaf minister. It was somebody who was deaf. So the entire wedding was in sign language, and the two people getting married were also deaf. Now understand that most deaf people's context for preparing for a wedding, there's no premarital counseling. There's very little information that they have about even about what being married means. They've seen their parents be married, but they haven't overheard the conversations that their parents have had. They haven't had specific instructions about what marriage means. So they're walking into marriage sometimes just with the idea that, oh, this is a person that I love and I'm going to live with them. And that's what marriage means. And so as this deaf wedding started, the person who was officiating began with the story in Genesis and began to describe the idea of what, where the idea of marriage comes from and how God created man and woman. And he created them not to be alone, but to be together and to help one another. And they took this story of marriage and looked at that thread throughout scripture. And some of the deaf people in the audience began to just weep. And as the wedding concluded, there were at least three or four couples who came up to the person who was ministering in the wedding and they said, "We had no idea that that is what marriage was about, that it was about Christ and the church, that God had ordained this when the world began as he created Adam and Eve. We really want to get married again because the service that we had, the two of us just stood there and there was a hearing minister and there was no interpreter, but my friend's brother knew a little bit of sign language, so he would interpret maybe 20 signs throughout the whole service. And we just nodded our heads and signed a paper. But we had no idea that marriage had all of this meaning and all of this symbolism." And so if you think about that context, you realize that many deaf people are just lacking access to information. And if they had that information, then they could make the decisions that you and I make and take for granted on an everyday basis. So one of the advantages that we have as deaf leaders who have been trained by DOOR go into their own communities and begin to share the gospel is that for many people in those regions, this is the first time that they've ever had information about God shared in their heart language. And they're incredibly captivated by it and they want to know more. But we have encountered situations where we've gone in, where deaf leaders have gone into regions in their own country and have encountered resistance. And part of the reason is that a group may have already come in that's not Christian, but is presenting information in sign language already. And that information has started to stick, whether that information is correct or it's wrong. And then it's very hard for deaf people to unlearn or to encounter something that's different. And one of the classic examples that we run into, not in any one specific part of the world, but really globally, is Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses have a huge deaf outreach, and they know many deaf people, and they've produced a number of materials in sign language. And they have a stronghold in deaf communities where otherwise there is no gospel access at all. There's one country in particular in South Asia where we came in to see what kind of gospel access deaf communities had. And as we sent deaf leaders in, deaf people shared with us that they would really love to have access at a church. But right now, Jehovah's Witnesses are the only ones that actually share any information in the sign language of the community. And so a lot of deaf people attend those services and attend those organizations, even if they're not all that happy with it because they don't have an alternative. And so as we began to work with that community and began to help them, began to train some of their own leaders in evangelism and church planting, and also began to help those leaders, we started a sign language Bible translation. That information is now getting out into the community and is having an incredible effect. The post on from the end of October that was on our Facebook page is related to a group in South Asia that's actually looking at doing a translation of some Hindu scriptures. And part of the reason was that they were seeing the effectiveness that Dorr's translation and 2x2 program is having in their own country. And they realized that having access to scripture in your heart language really has an incredible impact. But rather than shift and begin to be involved in Dorr's work, they really, they were staunch Hindus and wanted to push forward their own scripture. And so they're starting a program where they get to translate, they're translating scripture, their own Hindu scripture, into the sign language of the community there. And while that will introduce confusion some into the deaf community, because now the deaf community has more access to information than they did before, we're also very confident that God's word, the Bible, is something that's unlike any other scripture, any other book that's out there. And the truth, we desire for deaf people to have access to the truth. And we know that when deaf people have access to the truth, it will set them free. And so even if some of these other translation works are happening in some of these countries, we know that God's word is unique and that it's powerful and effective. And we don't take this as a significant hindrance, but instead it's going to continue to highlight the difference that scripture has in the lives of people everywhere.
And I definitely, I agree 100% with you on that. God's word will prove itself, so to say. But at the same time, the deaf leaders that you train are now encountering a whole new, like, this is like apologetics, basically, right? I mean, where you're having to defend your faith and give proof, and or my understanding of apologetics is just defending the faith when you have this marketplace of ideas. And this is really new for deaf because, as you explained, they've been cut off for so long. So how does Dorr help deaf leaders take a stand and defend the faith in that sense?
Yeah, that's a great question, and you're right. We do start to have to introduce more apologetics. What Peter was saying, have an answer ready for the hope that's in you, but share it with gentleness and respect. And so we have to get more into teaching our leaders about some of these ideas that they're going to run into in Hinduism, particularly in the country that we're talking about. But one of the interesting concepts that someone shared with me a number of years ago when I first became a believer in college and was very interested in apologetics and almost became overwhelmed with all of the ideas that are out there that are their own ideas and against scripture, a friend shared with me this idea of how people are trained in the U.S. Mint to spot counterfeit money. So when a new person is brought in to begin to work at the U.S. Mint, there's a lot of different counterfeit bills that they could run into, and the way that the U.S. Mint trains their new employees is rather than looking at all of the possible counterfeits first, what they do is they have them study the real thing. They study the actual bills that the U.S. Mint puts out, and they study them in depth, in and out, so that they know them incredibly well. And then they start to introduce and show them some of these other counterfeits and say, can you spot the differences? And immediately, if they know those the true bills, then they can immediately spot the counterfeits and they know why. And so that concept is similar for the way that we would encourage leaders in deaf ministry to begin to deal with some of these other ideas that are out there in the marketplace. We want them to know scripture backwards and forwards. We want them to have a vibrant, deep relationship with Christ so that when these other ideas come, they can immediately spot the counterfeits. They can immediately know what the difference is between what that person is saying and what scripture says and why that issue is so significant.
Sorry, Rob, I'm going to interrupt you for a second, because how can you do that when there's not even a whole Bible available to in any sign language? How can you get really deep into knowing God's truth when they only have a few scripture portions compared to what we have in written languages?
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges. That is definitely one of the challenges that we face. So they will know those scripture portions that we do have translated back and forth. But it, like you said, it's limited. Of the, 350 sign languages that are out there that need translation, a lot of people don't realize that only about 30 or so have any portions that are actually translated, and none of them have a complete Bible that that is available yet. So when we work in deaf communities and we're helping to assist in translation work, many times these are foundational passages that people have, but they don't have everything. And so there's definitely the possibility that as errors creep in, if people don't have access to full scripture yet, that can create a lot of challenge. So that's also the motivation that we have to encourage people to pray. Pray for the Bible translators that are working on access to these resources. Pray for the leaders who are continuing to dive deep into scripture, that they would recognize counterfeits and that they would be able to speak truth in gentleness and respect as they're witnessing in their own communities. And continue to pray for our organization as we look at helping more and more communities begin to do some of this critical work, both in terms of Bible translation and in terms of evangelism and church planting in by deaf, indigenous deaf leaders in their own communities.
And you answered my last question. So did you want to go back and continue the thought that you had before I cut you off?
No. That's totally fine. And if people have more information about some of the things that we do and ways that our deaf leaders engage with other deaf communities, we'd strongly encourage everyone to get more information on our website, doorinternational.org, or reach out to us at info@doorinternational.org. And we'd love to correspond and give people more information about some of the amazing things that God's doing.